as we start into this holiday season, Thanksgiving and then into Christmas, and we'll talk about this in the sermon, is that one of the things that is clear in Scripture is to whom much is given, much is required. We're given our time, our talents, and our treasures. We're part of a denomination, the Evangelical Free Church of America, and I'm excited to be part of that denomination. Part of it is their dedication, not only to reaching people in the United States, but reaching people around the world for Christ. Today, we're joining with the other churches in our denomination to have, with global fingerprints, something that's called Orphan Sunday. We'll start it today. And we're going to take this all the way through Christmas, and it'll be part of our Christmas giving where you'll see when we set up the tree where you can, as a family, pick stuff to be involved with. We're going to launch this today, Global Fingerprints. I'll have you show, I'm going to show a video, and then I'll explain it.
Dottie and Chris were born on the island of Luzon, in the Philippines. In 1996, after getting married and earning degrees in dentistry and nursing, God called them to minister to a small community just outside of Manila. The people here live in extreme poverty and desperation. Dottie and Chris started their ministry as part of a team, but as the years passed, people left. And because of the community's hostility to Christianity, no one ever came to replace them. Still, Chris and Dottie stayed. They saw a deep need for education, so they started a preschool. And early on, it was successful. Several kids from the community were attending and benefiting from Chris and Dottie's teaching. But over time, things got more difficult. Chris and Dottie struggled to gain support and partnerships. On top of that, hostility was building toward Chris and Dottie. Friends told them they were wasting their time in their profession. They were threatened on several occasions from others in the community. Their school building was burned down 3 times. In 2013, they were ready to leave, but God stopped them. As they were making arrangements, a woman, unaware of their plans, came to them and said, "If you leave, they won't allow anyone like you into the community again." So, after nearly 20 years of serving the community, they stayed. In 2017, Dottie and Chris began a partnership with Global Fingerprint. Through this partnership, Chris and Dottie set up a model for multiplication within their school. Through sponsorships with families across the world, they made a plan for the future that accounted not only for the educational needs of these children, but also their emotional, physical, and spiritual needs. Today, there are 78 kids in the program, and beyond just the school, God is transforming the entire community. Teenagers who Chris and Dottie once taught are now leaders and mentors within this program. Parents and families of these children are becoming more open to the gospel. The once hostile community now protects Dottie and Chris because of all the positive change God has brought to this neighborhood. But there's still more to do. You can make a difference in this community and others around the world by sponsoring children through Global Fingerprints. Join the work that is happening across the globe. Help give these kids the life-giving hope of Christ. Sponsor a child today.
All right, so we're going to be talking today in the sermon on the issue of lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I'll mention one of the ways that we lead ourselves into temptation is when God has blessed us with something and we use it improperly. And one of the ways God has blessed us is with resources, and we squander it. Nothing wrong with buying a mocha at Starbucks and stuff, but when we add that all up, basically you could be feeding a kid. So in our lives, here's the challenge. Here's what I'd like you to do. We're going to be starting, and you're going to hear this every week until after Christmas time. You'll have the chance to help kids that are either already orphans or they're kids that are at risk in their situation, where parents either are thinking of selling them to traffickers or worse. Can't be much worse than that. So for $35 a month, it's providing those things. It's providing food, education, health care, and a weekly entrance into the family life of that child. So here's one here, Kamasa. She's from Liberia. Special needs. Kamasa's father is dead and mother has to take care of the children left but has nothing to bring, no home, no income. Therefore, bringing things become very challenging. If nothing is done, Kamasa may go not go far in school. Pray for her. So you're able to, as a family or a small group, say, hey, we're gonna pick out, these are the actual kids. This is not, you know, 15 churches that have the same one. These, we've asked our denomination, give us some kids, and it's my prayer that every one of them will be taken care of. And so I'm going to be bringing this to my small group, and I think we'll do it. I'm not going to speak for the guys, but the fact is this. This is partnering with our missionaries. It's saying to them, hey, we're behind you, and you can change that village or that town or that ghetto one kid at a time. Isn't that exciting? So I want to challenge you. Go out. Judy Raminski's out there. We have. You can sign up, or if you want the information, you can take it home. You can go to the website, and there's so much information you can get. But you're going to be hearing more and more about this. And, hey, God's going to bless. He's going to bless your life because you've determined, hey, Lord, I want to use the resources you've given me for the good, for your kingdom to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be involved with this very important Orphan Sunday. And we join with churches in our denomination all over the country, realizing that we're only one of two churches of those churches that has carrying this not only today but in through Christmas. And I just pray the other ones would take it on too. We want to change the world one child at a time. And so give us courage to step out. And we know, Lord, that as we pour out our cup, you'll fill it back up. So, Lord, thank you for the time we have now as we go to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We'll be once again in the Lord's Prayer. And let's go ahead and recite it again. All right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we're going to talk today about something that we're all experts on. Lead us not into temptation. Now, last week we talked about forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so ultimately, the two go hand in hand. We're now asking, Lord, lead me not into temptation. We need to unpackage that, right, what that means, and deliver us from evil. Or if some, I think maybe probably the better translation is, deliver us from the evil one. So we want to unpack these two things. First of all, it's this word, deliver us from evil, or forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, lead us not into temptation. So the question is, wait a minute, I thought God was a good God. Why would he lead us into temptation? Well, I want to unpack that word, all right? So the Greek word perizein here, is a word that can be used for tests, trials, and temptation. Let's look in the New Testament and see how it says that. Well, when it says, consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, James 1, 2, and 3, it's the same word, okay? Goes on, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, it's the same word. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, and the Lord has promised to those who love him, James 1, 12. And then we have James 1, 13 to 14. Let no one say when they're tempted, it's the same word, prosmos or perizo, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But when tempted, when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. So the issue here is broader. It is really this issue of test, trials, and temptations. And God says, I don't lead you. I'm not the one who entices you. So here's, to me, the simplicity of this passage is this. Two things we're asking from God. Lead us in the right way and protect us. Right? Lead us and protect us. Now, my own personal thought is we need that because I think we were created in desperate need of a shepherd. Our guidance system is all messed up. So we need a shepherd. When Jesus came, he used the most famous, most well-known verse of all of the Bible, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And in John chapter 10, uses that as a backdrop for a very, very important image. He depicts people or his people as sheep. And there are two opposing things. There's the thief or the false shepherd who comes to, verse John 10:10, to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So, in the issue of tests, trials, and temptations, that's what the evil one, the thief, wants to accomplish. To steal, kill, and destroy. Now, do we have any evidence in our own lives, the lives of our family, the lives of our community, the lives of our state, the lives of our country, the lives of the world, where they have fallen in with a shepherd that's actually a thief? We've seen steal vitality, steal joy, steal abundance, steal peace, steal, kill, and destroy. Of course we have. We live in a world today. We go, wow, how could that happen? So as we made the front page of the paper, you know, because someone stole our generator, I found myself then praying, oh, Lord. I mean, and in the postings, how could someone steal from a church? Da, 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 da. I know how. Because they've fallen in with the wrong shepherd. I have too at times. Haven't you? We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you're on that path, somehow thinking, I can do my thing, and it's all going to work out fine, the Bible calls you, or myself, if I do the same, a fool. To somehow think, I don't need God. And then the false shepherd says, yeah, you just keep believing you can do your own thing. So that's the false. Lead us not into temptation. Friends, before we ask God not to lead us into temptation and trials that we can't handle, we ought to take responsibility ourselves for not putting ourselves in positions where we can be tempted. So don't walk down the dark alley in your mind. Avoid those things that would make you stumble. One of the pastors that I was trained under, Pastor Ron Blanc, tells a story, true story. He was in a grocery store, and there was going down the cereal aisle. you know, on the cereal aisle, they're put right at the eye spot of for children, all the, you know, it's all the good stuff, Fruit Loops and, you know, Captain Crunch with crunch berries and stuff, all right? And, all right, so this mom is going down and this kid starts saying, I want that. And she says, no, I want that. No, and the child jumps out of the cart and starts pounding his fist in the aisle. I want that. And the mom is panicking, so she grabs the box, opens it up, and begins to hand it to the kid. And my pastor friend says, ma'am, I want to warn you. If you do that, you'll be doing that for the rest of that child's life. And the child goes, you know, didn't like that pastor saying that, see? How many parents here, you avoid that part of the store with your kids? All right, I know for myself. I mean, so the issue is this, is that there are places that we should avoid. Don't go there. Don't put yourself. Now, there's another way that sin, there's a whole lot of ways that sin can come, but I'll just say, first, is it's going places that we should not go. And it takes a sense of a steadfastness. Okay, Lord, I'm not going down there because I know if I do that, or I know if I watch this television show or this movie, you know. If I watch this movie, I know there's going to be nakedness in there, and I don't need to be watching nakedness, so don't watch the movie, right? Well, I'll just flip through that part. Friends, the Bible says in Romans, don't feed that part of your life. Do not put on board those things that feed the flesh. So that's the first thing. The next thing about it is this, is that we sin when we misuse the good things that God has given to us. We live in the richest country in the history of the world. We enjoy freedoms that almost nobody enjoys. And to whom much is given, much is required. If God's given you a pie, then maybe it's not all just for you. I mean, that's how we have to look at things. So as God has given, he is saying, hey, listen, I want to see, and Jesus did it in the parable of the talents, right? In the parable of the talents. I'm going to give you either 3 or 5 or 2 or 1, but the expectation is you're going to multiply it, you're going to share it, and not hoard it. So the question is that I think that, I'm not saying that if you don't pick an orphan for Orphan Sunday, that you're in sin. But I will say this, you probably are close to it if you don't even consider it. Right? No, I can't possibly do that. Oh, really? Well, maybe you got to think outside the box. Maybe if you get 14 other people, they can do it. Right? But God has put into our hands, and he said, listen, what I put into your hands, this is not so you can own 15 black Escalades and stuff like that, and a Learjet. God simply says, listen, you cannot outgive me. So it's a sin of knowing, man, don't go down there, and also the sin of when God blesses you, somehow thinking that, oh, good, now it's all for me. All right. Lead us not into temptation. A.W. Tozer said this, life is a spiritual minefield. Amid such dangers, we dare not trust ourselves. Father, keep us safe. That's A.W. Tozer's depiction of this passage. Life is a spiritual minefield. Amid such dangers, we dare not trust ourselves. Father, keep us safe. Lead us not into temptation. That's part of how Jesus wants us to pray. Lord, I realize this is a perilous world spiritually. Lord, help me. Don't lead me in the wrong way, Lord. And it's you know, it, I get it. That part of it is, Lord, lead me in the right way. Help me to follow you. Because the good shepherd says, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. So two shepherds, one says, either do your own thing or do my thing. We'll steal, kill, and destroy. So there's people who somehow think that they can do their thing and God will bless their mess. Whether it's in their family or their marriage or their personal life, or they can see how close to the edge of covetousness or lust or whatever it could be, and you know. Now, bravery is, that's stupidity, right? Get back. So we realize this, is that God does, in fact, allow us to be tested. So is this saying, Lord, don't test me? Now, I think it's a cry out there, God, man, I don't want to be over. I get kind of tired of the testing sometimes. Right? How many of you are school teachers here or used to be a school teacher? How many of you have ever dreamed of being a school teacher? Nobody. All right, that's too bad, because if you want to change the world, be a school teacher, all right? Because you're right in the middle of it all, you know, if you can handle it. You know, so part of it is this, is that we're in a situation where we said, well, I can't handle this. But, you know, the teacher's in charge of the testing. Whether it's a pop quiz or it's... When we lived in New Zealand, you would sit for finals in this hall with little desks. You know, you're in your uniform and everyone's in these desks and the prompter and person would walk around with a ruler and, you know... Yeah, pretty serious stuff, right? They're in charge of that. So here's the deal. If you're God's child, he's in charge of the testing. But the purpose of the testing is to make you like Jesus. So the purpose of the testing of God is to make you like Jesus and prepare you for heaven. The purpose of the devil, the thief, is to steal, kill, and destroy. All right? So where are you going to go with that, right? And so I think here's the next question. I'll load this here. Next slide. All right. Right. Always some free cheese out there. All right. Some of you, unfortunately. You're so close to the mousetrap. Or maybe you've already been caught. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the hope. That's what the good shepherd does. It says in 1 John chapter 2, little children, do not sin. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, before the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The evil shepherd says he doesn't really care if you walk down this road and fall off the cliff or, you know, is kill, steal, and destroy. But the good shepherd says, no, I'm leading you to green pastures by quiet waters. I'll walk you through the valley of the shadow of death. So the question is, you may be going through trials right now and difficulties. Say amen if you are. All right. I feel much more comforted, even though I do not understand, and I don't like it sometimes, that my Heavenly Father knows what he's doing. Right? Never let me down. Is it possible that God, who created the whole universe like that, who sent his only son. God came as a man, died on the cross for our sins, rose again. Is it very possible that I do not completely understand all that he has in mind? But here's what I do know. That shepherd came that I may have life and have it abundantly. So in the midst of temptation, I'm going to trust him. In the middle of trials, I'm going to say, Lord, I don't like this. Man, help me out. I'm struggling. Help me, please. Help me not to lose my faith. Help me not to become hardened, right? But Lord, help me just to walk steady with you. Amen? All right. I don't think life's a picnic. So those false prophets who have the name it and claim it prosperity gospel, that's really a false gospel from the devil, right? Because God never promised you a walk in the rose garden. There's a country western song there someplace. But he did promise you eternal life. He did promise you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That sounds pretty good to me. That's the stuff I need and want. So here's the question today. Don't answer it out loud. Who are you trusting? What shepherd are you trusting? The one that lets you do whatever you want? Or the one who says, follow me, I'll give you a life that's abundant. Life's not a picnic. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So, watch out. So, we're first saying, Lord, please lead me right. Shepherd me in the right path. Lord, keep me from trials, temptations, whatever they may be, where I'm going to be over my head. And God's already promised he will not allow us to be tested, tempted, or anything beyond what we can bear. That's the good shepherd. Right? That's the good shepherd. Every once in a while, I mean, I don't want to be judgmental because I think I was a pretty good parent and still I am, but every once in a while I'll see someone with their kids. I was in San Francisco this last week, and there was someone's kid that was like running around on the sidewalk, and it's on this busy street, and they were like running like they were going to go into, and the parent was on their cell phone. I'm thinking, man, just be more alert, right? Here's what I know about our Heavenly Father. He counts the hairs on every one of our heads. He knows exactly what we're going through. Because it goes on in the same passage in Peter. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in his own time he will lift you up. Cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he is watching everything that concerns you. Then it says, watch out for the devil, for the Satan, for he prowls like a hungry, roaring lion seeking victims to devour. Stand steady when he attacks, firm in your faith, and trust the Lord, and remember that other brethren in the world are suffering the same things too. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace through Jesus Christ will himself confirm and establish you. Confirm, perfect, and establish you. To him be glory forever. Amen. So friends, there it is in a nutshell. Walk humbly before the good shepherd and say, Lord, please help me, save me from this. And then he moves on and says this, and deliver me from the evil one. Now, before I move into that, about how we need to be, first of all, lead me properly, Lord, protect me properly. I think this, that one of the things is that we find ourselves in a greater place of temptation when we're not feeding on the right things. The Bible said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, they will be satisfied. So a lot of times we are tempted because we're not finding our satisfaction in the Lord. We're not feeding on his things. I love the fish. I don't fish as often as I used to. But I love the fish for steelhead and salmon. And I know this, is that ultimately, I have to bring, and I like the fly fish, I have to bring a whole bunch of different flies. Because I'm not really sure what they're biting on. Because ultimately, the steelhead are going to be hungry. I've heard that the salmon, once they get into the water, they stop eating. They gorge themselves out in the ocean, and then they head up. But so then how can you catch them then? Because they've already gorged themselves. So for a salmon, the way you do it is you're somehow enticing them. It's an instinct. And I was talking to some of our bass fishermen here, which we've got some great bass fishermen here. This is the same thing. I mean, what do you do? How can you catch bass if they're already well fed? Well, you have to entice them. You got to tick them off. You got to make, hey, what's that shiny thing going by there? Get out of here. They'll bite it. So sometimes you may be, watch out, because you may be reading the Word and going to Bible study, going to church, you're involved with a one or a youth group or in a small group, and you say, well, good, I'm good to go. I don't have to worry about being tempted. Well, the devil says, I have a little special thing for you. I'm going to just tick you off. And we respond, we bite at things that we go, well, what was that all about? That's why it says, watch out for Satan, for he prowls like a hungry, roaring lion seeking victims to devour. Then it says, stand steady when attacks, firm in your faith, and trust the Lord. So ultimately, be well fed on God's things, but it says always to be watchful. Because the devil's like, well, man, that guy went to Bible study. I guess I won't mess with them. No, maybe he'll mess with you more. I think he messes with pastors and elders and Sunday school teachers, Awana leaders. You know, if I can get that Awana leader to act unbecomingly or do something foolish, or that pastor to do something, boy, he's, hey, I got, you know, he just like mounting our heads on the wall, right? Watch out. Be careful. All right, here's a couple things about the enemy. First of all, that according to statistics, that only about 25% of evangelical Christians actually believe that the devil is a person and exists. They think he's just some kind of negative concept. I'm not talking about what the world thinks. I'm talking about what Christians think. And the devil says, good. You know, I'm more forewarned now. We're going to have to get another generator and stuff like that. But the fact is this, is that, and even if we would have locked it up, they had bolt cutters and all kinds of stuff. But we're going to figure out other secret ways to, you know, that are legal to protect it. But if I somehow think, well, no one will ever do that again because people are all good. No, people are not, there are people who are not good. And there are thieves and robbers and there's bad people, right? So a lot of people think, well, now the devil. So here's the first thing about the devil, the principle of reality. The reality is that he exists. Next principle is the principle of, well, I call it the principle of respect. 1 John 4:4 says, he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. So Jesus is. But it's interesting enough, you go to Jude chapter 9, it says even Michael the archangel did not dare to take Satan on alone, but called on the Lord to rebuke him. He's a powerful, created angel, that's what the Bible says, who has fallen. And, you know, don't mess with it. It's Jesus is the one who has the victory. All right? He's the name that's above all names. Next is the principle of recognition. Here's how the devil is described. John chapter 8, verse 44, the father of lies. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, the God of this age. Matthew 9 and Matthew 12, the prince of demons. John 12, 31, the prince of this world. Ephesians 2, 2, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. And in 2 Corinthians 11, 14, an angel of light. So we recognize him. It's not that scary guy with a weird face, pointed tail, pitchfork, but he can show up as an angel of light. All right. Next is the principle of removal. Heavenly Father, endowed us with His Holy Spirit, with spiritual common sense that expects us to use it in avoiding temptations. Friends, there are situations that you just should not be in. Remove yourself. You got 2 feet. In your mind, you got. If you're watching something on television that does that's just feeding the bad side of you, then do turn it off. Right? It's removal. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Friends, it's not just, well, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about that. No, think about the right things. Fill your mind with God's stuff. That's how you flee. Fill it with the right stuff. If you're having a problem with anger towards a loved one, then stop being angry. Don't be vengeful. And change your life by the power of the Holy Spirit and be kind, gentle, patient, forbearing, doing all that you can do to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It's not just a matter of fleeing. It's fleeing to the right thing. It's embracing the Good Shepherd. Next is the principle of resistance. James wrote in James 4, 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. No, I'm not going there. No, I'm not thinking that. No, I'm not going to be unforgiving. It's resisting the devil. Once again, 1 Peter 5, 9, resist him steadfast in your faith. And last is the spirit, this issue of readiness. The issue of readiness. Mark chapter 14, verse 38, Jesus says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are those? What is this? The armor of God? It is the belt of truth. Friends, that's where the enemy wants to start. He wants you to believe that that phone call you're going to get from the doctor, that you're going to get bad news, and then all of a sudden your life's going to be ruined. That's a lie. Whatever happens in that phone call, by God's grace, you can handle it by His power. I'm not just speaking from the cheap seats. Really. So the issue is this. When Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will stand guard, get this, on your heart and on your mind in Christ Jesus. Then it goes on, finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, anything praiseworthy, let your mind dwell on those things. Friends, that's what we got to do. It's the belt of truth. Don't live in innuendo. Well, don't live in the world of what if. If you're living in the world of what if, give that over to God. God, I don't know what's going to happen. What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? Say, Lord. So you turn to the Lord. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. Please help me. Right? Give us this day our daily bread. Thy will be done. Next, we're put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protects the vital organs, lungs, heart, kidneys. It is righteousness that protects us, those vital areas. So that's the breastplate of righteousness. Any sin in our lives leaves an opening in our armor through which Satan can attack us. And we're not perfect. But here's the thing. In our imperfection, we ought to find ourselves on our knees crying out, "Oh Lord, lead me not into trials and temptations that I can't handle, but deliver me from the evil one." The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. There's something about when you got a shield of faith and you got a helmet on that makes you feel like, okay, I think I'm ready. You know, you're more ready. Okay, I'm probably going to get hit, but at least I'm covered, you know. And so here's the thing. We just need to grow up, right? I'm real glad that I grew up playing football and stuff like that, but the coaches that I had back in that time, they were not enlightened people, right? So we would be 105 degrees out football practice twice a day, baking our brains, getting helmets, you know, good hit guys, you know. And then I realize now if you keep doing that, you'll probably get a concussion or you'll die of heat exhaustion. But the issue is this, no one's thinking today, you know, we ought to go back. If we just take all the helmets off, then that, you know, then it'll be really a man, more manly or womanly activity, right? No, we're trying to protect. We're trying to protect something that's vital. So these are things that we're supposed to do. Walk with the Lord. Put on the armor of God. Last is to put on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's how we have victory. The two things we're asking, Lord, please lead me properly. Lead me this day so I may have success. I don't want to fall. And Lord, protect me from the evil one. That's how Jesus has told us to pray. And although Satan is the ruler of this present evil world, and though he may be the prince of the power of the air, though he may have a cohort of evil spirits to command, he has no claim over God's children. Amen. Nor does he have any power to tempt us except what the Father allows. The safest place to be, get this, is in a relationship with the God who created you. He has set that up by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. God himself came as a man. It's a mystery, really, isn't it? He rose from the dead, defeating sin and death, and we can have life alone in his name. And as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. The psalmist in Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8, expresses this confidence. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Here's the question. Do you belong to the Good Shepherd? There's only one way. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. If you're not a child of God, then you're going to be influenced by the other anti-shepherd and it leads to death, you know, and heartache. So here's my recommendation. If you don't know the Lord, then receive him now. Admit you're a sinner. Admit your need for him. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him as both Lord and Savior. If you are a child of God, then quit messing around with sin. Flee from it. Stay far from it. And pray daily, "Oh Lord, Lord, lead me right. Lead me not in those ways that I'm going to trip up, but Lord, lead me in righteousness. And Lord, protect me from the evil one." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Oh, Father, we do pray that you would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We want lives to bring you joy. We want to use our time, our talent, our treasures, not as an idol, but as a resource, as a blessing to those people that you want to reach for your in your kingdom. So, Lord, help us to walk with you. Help us to be strong. Help us to put on the armor that you've given to us to protect us. Lord, I pray that with a special prayer for this Orphan Sunday. We pray for the orphans, those children at risk around the world. We pray, Lord, that the gospel would be proclaimed to them. And we pray, Lord, that our efforts to be of a help would just set people free. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Whoop. All right. All right.
I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me. Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the I'm gonna see a victory.
justice.